All right, guys, I'm back. I know I went MIA. I know we had great wrestling since I did my show on Friday, and I didn't really get into it all that. I'll unexplain everything in a minute, but I've been in MIA for a couple of days and not even really an explanation for it. I just been having fun with, like, pretty much, you know, not, you know, I don't want to say great wrestling all across the board, because trust me, it's both, you know, AEW and WWE still got some things to work on. But for the most part, like, in years, I've been like, this has been the most entertained I've been with wrestling, as far as like consecutively, you know. Well, we had AEW on starting pretty much with Friday, like Rampage. Knocked everything out the park. SmackDown had a good go-home show to SummerSlam, and then SummerSlam was pretty much, in my book, you know, awesome SummerSlam. You know what I'm saying? Some stuff, like I said, like, not everything is perfect. You know, you still watch some old stuff from yesteryear, and everything isn't perfect, but for the most part, if the show entertained you overall, they've done their job. NXT, great matches. You know, Raw wasn't perfect last night. Right now, I'm watching NXT. Right now, we got with Odyssey Jones against, I think, Carmelo Hayes for the breakout tournament winner, whatever. They're in the middle of the match. I think they just started. For the most part, for the past couple of days, consecutively, not a lot to really complain about with wrestling. I just been MIA because I've been just having so much fun with wrestling. It's just been like, oh my God, really? Not the fact that I even really forgot to do a show, because I've always, like, even after each show, like, I did the CM Punk thing, but let's be honest, that show, I was impaired, yo. I was, like, drunk, because I was, like, you know, already drinking before Rampage, because I said, man, you know, this is, like, one of those things where this will never happen again, but I was just, like, I have to, you know, I just needed to get a couple of drinks in me. So when I did the show, I was like, you know, I'm just be honest, I was intoxicated. And I was like majorly intoxicated on SummerSlam. And then, well, not necessarily SummerSlam, I explained that day. And I was pretty much like intoxicated on NXT. You know, SummerSlam was a different story. I had like a stomach pain because of certain reasons why, I'll tell you in a minute. But it was just, but like, I mean, all in all, fun weekend, like a great weekend. One of the greatest weekends for wrestling that I've had in a long time, you know, entertained highly. So I was probably like intoxicated more off of being entertained, the, you know, more than anything. So we'll get into everything. You know, before I get into all that though, I'm not gonna say my whole weekend was full of, you know, wrestling, because I did had to wait like all day until I get to SummerSlam or NXT or Rampage, SmackDown, all that other stuff, Raw, you know. So through the day, you just see stuff for what it's worth, and it's you know, when you see stuff for what it is, you solely gotta understand why a person like me, in particular, I don't necessarily like I had a personal Facebook page. Up until like a few, probably like since last month. And I have to thank my youngest son for that, because I let him watch my phone. He watches YouTube and stuff, and like he watched Blippi and Coco Melon and all the other stuff. But somehow he did my Facebook page the way he deleted the whole damn thing. Now, I wasn't necessarily mad, because I don't get on Facebook. Like, even when I had the page, just like it disappeared, right? So I was looking for the Facebook, and I was just like, well, whatever. So I'll just make a new one, but the new one is just solely about the show. Like, that's it. It's not even about, it's not a personal page, nothing. Because at the end of the day, I'm like, with my personal page, when I scroll through it and I just be entertained by people posting up little videos, like TikTok videos, you know, people pranking each other, I'm entertained, right? I'm not going to say I'm a person that can easily be entertained, but it's just stuff like that just entertains. You see people pranking each other and everything, and you're just like, oh, okay. But when you see certain things on your personal page where people just, you know, I feel like Facebook was solely made on people that don't want to say things to a certain person's face. Right? That's just me, right? I just look at it like that because I'm like, I was never the type of person to really get on Facebook and talk a lot of garbage. Like, you know, I was never really a person to get on there and talk a lot of trash because it's like, why would I waste my time get on here when I can say it to you in less time than I could type it, right? Like, people probably like, well, what does that mean? Like, you know, when I first got a Facebook page years ago, and this is probably when Facebook first came out, I was probably in high school at the time. Don't know when the fuck Facebook came out. Like, matter of fact, when I was in high school, MySpace was like the thing. But, you know, you get on Facebook and everything, but when you're mad, you want to say, like, things the right way so you'll, you know, try to get it the right way or how you want to type it. You try to look at it, be like, no, let me take it back. Let me put it this way. I used to do that in high school. Now, I still see people that's, like, around my age range still doing the same shit. And I was like, you don't change. You don't grow up. Like, like, this is, like, the millennial shit. Because I'm not a millennial, okay? But, you know, it's like, Jesus Christ. Like, I understand if millennials do it. That's what they've been based and grown up on. Me, personally, I've been just really grown up on pretty much if you want to say something, I would rather just directly tell you, or I could just show you better than I could tell you, if that makes any sense. But I don't want to just get on Facebook and if you're just sitting back and you're just trying to figure out things to say, and then when you say it, you don't exactly say it to that person. You saying it, and then you'll, like, you know, so when that exact person be like, well, why you put that up? No, I was just mad. Get a lot of that. Trust me, I had a cousin that done that to me years ago. Talked a lot of junk, talked a lot of trash, you know? And as a matter of fact, I put it like this. My cousin actually had my name on the Facebook post, which was a shock, which wasn't really a shocker. It was just like, oh, okay. I don't know why you put that, because you'll have to see me within like less than like 2 weeks and you had to explain yourself. And when I saw my cousin, they was like, oh, no, man, I was just, you know, man, it's all good. It's like, what? Like, first of all, I'm not even mad at you about the Facebook post, because Facebook is Facebook. I leave Facebook to be Facebook, okay? I leave Instagram to be Instagram. I never even had a Snapchat, you know? I have an Instagram. I even actually forgot I had an Instagram, like, to be honest with you. I just happened to look on my phone today, and I'm like, oh, got an Instagram. Just been on the phone. Don't get on it. Now I do get on Facebook, but it's only for, like, the show purpose only. That's it. Because it's like I just post, talk about wrestling, talk about football, Twitter, talk about wrestling, talk about football, talk about basketball, talk about like stuff that I do the show on. I don't get on there for personal shit. Like, why? Like what's the purpose? And I look at Facebook too as not even just Facebook, but I just use Facebook as an example. All the social media platforms though. I look at it as, if you know, when people see you do that, people that, you know, that you're probably, I could be Facebook friends with like a bunch of people, and they can be people I used to go to school with. They're gonna be highly entertained on your bullshit, because they're not drowning in your shit. They love to see you drown in your own shit, so they'll encourage you to talk more shit. So they'll like the post and comment under the post and say this and say that. But they're not going through the same shit as you, so why even post the shit on Facebook in the first fucking place? It's ridiculous. And this is me not speaking to millennials mostly, but I would hope millennials would actually hear this and be like, yeah, you know what, he's right. But this is people like in my age bracket, like in the 30s going into the 40s bracket. Like, it's like just personal stuff where it should be just left alone. See, I'm a person that's like this. I've said this when I first started my show. My circle is like not big. I don't like a lot of people. Okay, I don't deal with a lot of people. The circle is like so small, it's like ridiculous. And I know people, and then it's not like it's the cool circle, it's the fun circle. No, it's just a circle of mine that I keep because I don't like to deal with a lot of people. Because when a lot of shit happens, the circle is so small that when somebody tells me, oh, did you see what happened? My mind, like, my fucks are not giving, because I'm like, okay, well, I don't give a fuck, because, you know, it just doesn't matter to me. Because at the end of the day, when you know a lot of shit can go down, you have this person in your inner circle and that person in your inner circle. No, you don't need a lot of people in your inner circle. You know, it's like you just don't. And I'm like, and me personally, it's like people ask me, well, what is your inner circle consist of? Just my fiance and my kids. Everybody else is pretty much non and void at this point. Like, I love you. You know, I'll deal with you on a certain level, but when like actual personal shit gets involved, nah, I don't deal with it because it's not my problem. And that's just me. And that's how everybody else should live their life. It's not no, oh my God, you should care about me and all this other stuff. No, it's just like you got your own shit to deal with, so just deal with it. Because won't nobody else deal with the shit better than you? That's why I deal with my shit by myself most of the time. Most of the time, like I said, I have a fiance and I have kids. A lot of shit I just deal with just because I'm like, you know, a lot of shit that I deal with is like, it's not even that big of a deal, to be honest with you. It's like just little stuff where it can be like, oh, okay, it can be handled. But why does Facebook and everybody else have to know? Like, they don't have to, but they do. People just make it happen. And then when everybody has something to say about the Facebook post, you can't get mad when somebody be like, well, you should get your shit together. Because then you look at it like, well, who told you to answer me anyway? Well, you posted your shit for everybody to post. Right? You posted your shit for everybody to comment. So, just a little, you know, I don't know what they, I guess what they put, call it food for thought. Just a little something. But I mean, who am I? I'm a nobody, right? You don't gotta listen to me. I mean, you don't have to listen to me. It's just a little food for thought. So wrestling was fun over the entire weekend. Now let me give you my actual, you know, actual real thoughts. Like I said, I haven't listened to that CM Punk rap, but I was just like, I known I was probably drunk. But let me get into that before I get anything else. CM Punk returned Friday, and I know I went over it, but I'm going to do it again. I'm not going to stay long on it because I know I made my thoughts probably wasn't, like, indifferent from, you know, how I kind of felt. As of right now, Carmelo Hayes, as I'm speaking, has won the NXT Breakout Tournament, which I kind of figured he was. I just picked him to pick him. I just felt like he had to look for Vince and everything, considering every rumor we've seen about NXT, Vince is about to take over NXT and everything. I'm like, okay, well, he's not going to probably pick the guy that's not in shape like the other guy, so let me pick the guy that's more in shape. And I kind of like the Carmelo Hayes guy. So Carmelo Hayes won. He's got a contract. He's with NXT. We'll see what happens from there. Now, let's get back to CM Punk. He returned Friday, and the pretty much that daggone, you know, what do you call that? The debut, the way that AEW handled it, it couldn't have went no better than how they did it. They started it off, they promoted some matches for the night, and then they kept saying that they had a big announcement, you know, coming up next, you know, and JR pretty much went on to say he ain't been in that building since 94, and he think this atmosphere kind of trumped that atmosphere in 94 of SummerSlam. You know, fans was already going ape shit saying CM Punk. People kept saying over that whole day that he's not going to show up. You know, you guys are, you know, that the AEW is trolling. This is the difference between actual wrestling fans and people that actually pay attention to wrestling. And people that, you know, they're probably wrestling fans, but they're just trollers. They just want to troll. Like I said, they just want to probably get that buzz for that or some reason. AEW is not stupid. You know, AEW was not stupid. They were not, they promoted CM Punk without saying his name for weeks. If you're a wrestling fan like me that just like look into shit, like you don't even have to look into it and get, you know, what do you call it? I don't know what they call it, dirt sheets, whatever the fuck they call it, all that crazy crap. You just got to be like, it's just with wrestling, it's like, it's just pretty much anything. But with wrestling, it's pretty much common knowledge that AEW was not going to shoot themselves in the foot by pretty much promoting CM Punk without saying his name. And then when fans sell out United Center, which is like a huge arena, they were not going to not have something big planned that day. They were going to have CM Punk there. Or, like I said, I felt like people probably really would have rioted because them Chicago fans and the love for CM Punk that they have is crazy. So, I think the only guys that could probably trump CM Punk love in the wrestling business from Chicago would probably be the Road Warriors, and that's probably it. But CM Punk is like a phenomenon in for wrestling in Chicago. So he had to be there. And the fans was already going apeshit before the music hit. And then the music hit, and then they got even louder. And then when he came out the tunnel, they got louder. I really thought that they were literally going to blow the roof off of the United Center on Friday night. Like I said, he jumped into the fans, and he talked his stuff. The only way CM Punk can, and the only thing that I can say after I saw that, and he challenged Darby Allin to, I don't know if it's called All In, All Out. I was kind of like, you know, buzzed out and everything with that. And it was just like, you know, an atmosphere when I was watching it. I was just like, Jesus, I wish I was there. But after watching the promo, and I actually thought about it after the last couple of days, and I probably said this Friday too, but after listening to the, because I watched the daggone promo at least like five more times after that, the entire thing from him coming out and all that other stuff, because it's all over YouTube. Like, you can catch like 10 different videos of the same clip, same length probably. AEW, they got a handful now. And not saying because of CM Punk, I'm talking about the way he delivered the promo, the way, because CM Punk is a promo guy. Like, it's only a certain amount of guys that I put in a, when I say promo, I'm not talking The Rock where he come out and do a shtick. Like, The Rock can cut a promo. Let's be honest. Rock is probably one of the greatest promo cutters of all time, but The Rock has to do a stick with it. With CM Punk, I put him in the conversation with, like, let's say, like, the Arn Andersons and the Roddy Pipers and probably the Ric Flairs, where they can, you know, they can, when they talk, it's like they can really talk, but they can, like, you know, it's like a situation where it's like, when they're talking, they're talking like they're talking to you, like it's a conversation, but they got you reeled in. They got you reeled in, and they only got you reeled in because they can talk you. It's like they can talk their way out of a paper bag. And that's how CM Punk is. That's the kind of promos that he cuts. And then you look at AEW, you look at the guys that cuts the promos, and you're like, okay, Chris Jericho, he's fine. You know, nobody doesn't really worry about Jericho, but like I said before, I don't look at Jon Moxley as like the prompt, like he was probably like, besides Jericho, if you would look at anybody, he'd be like, well, that's probably your best promo guy right there, Jon Moxley. And you seen the promo that he cut on with that Wednesday of Dynamite, which I was like not too thrilled about, the promo that he cut. But then you look at like when CM Punk came in, like right after, and then it's just like, okay, this guy's on a different level on how he cut promos. He's definitely going to be there to help guys get to where they need to go, help their characters a little bit more, because even though they can, you know, he comes out there and he, you know, and like I said, rightfully so, come out there shit on WWE the way they treated him, because the way they treated him was not right. But CM Punk been in WWE, he's been all over, and his name's in AEW, so he had experience on how to cut promos like a Piper or Arn Anderson or Ric Flair. He can cut those promos like that and make a situation in wrestling where everybody knows that it's premeditated, make a situation feel real. And that's pretty much what we got. And then, and like I said before, the way AEW handles their things, they got a weekly episodic television show or shows each week. Now they're definitely going to have to get to the point to where they have to do shows to where they got a real fans in, because you got CM Punk there. You got Jon Moxley there. Now you got to do something with these guys. You just can't bring them in and just be like, oh, we signed them, and you just have matches for the fuck of it on Dynamite and Rampage. You got to have some type of story being followed, because, like I said, I listen to Jim Cornette all the time. And I know people don't like to agree with Jim Cornette on everything that he says. Me, personally, I agree on mostly everything that Jim Cornette says, because I look at it, and everybody's probably like, well, he don't own a company, he don't run a company. Yeah, that's true, but it's a reason why people tune out of wrestling, because at the end of the day, like Jim Cornette said, You have a weekly episodic television show. You have to bring more fans in, so you have to treat it like such. You can't just, oh, this is a wrestling show, so let's just have matches. It's not how you do it. That's not how you, and then on top of that, AEW has guys that need to be established. You know, like CM Punk is already established. You can't establish this guy more than what he is. He can just come in and try to make your product. He can make your product better. You know, that's all he can do. He's already established. You don't have to create him no more. He's already what he is. Everybody knows what comes to the table with him, Jericho, somewhat at a point, John Moxley. But everybody else, like Darby Allin and everybody, these guys got to be established. That's why CM Punk came in right away. He's about to fight Darby Allin. He's going to try to establish these guys as, okay, you got to take these guys seriously too because they can be main eventers. Because no matter what people say about WWE, WWE established Roman Reigns as a guy where, okay, people boo him, but you can, he's established. Okay? So, you know, AEW's got to start getting to that point now. You can't, it should be over with signing guys. I would think that they could probably sign like one more major guy that WWE let go, and that's it. And I would think that hopefully that is Bray Wyatt, but I hope that's like months from now, because, you know, rumor has it that Daniel Bryan should be coming in at the next AEW's pay-per-view coming up, which I believe so too. And that'll be another big pop in Chicago, because even though Daniel Bryan or Bryan Danielson is not from Chicago, I think he's still big in those parts, like those parts of the, like Philly and all that, because he's like, you know, those, you know, he's one of those guys where the hardcore fans love him, and AEW attracts the hardcore fans. But now AEW has to start trying to attract the casuals. You know, they got to get to the casuals now, because AEW is pretty much for hardcore fans. And some casuals probably tuned in, a lot of casuals probably tuned in for the CM Punk stuff on Friday, which is good. But now you got to attract more of the casual, you know? So hopefully AEW takes that step forward, you know, and hopefully they ain't not worried about what WWE do either. So, all in all, like I said, that was a good, it was a good debut for Punk. It couldn't have went no better. Probably one of the greatest, I would say, like, I don't want to say debuts. I'll say debut for a company, right? Because I don't want to say debut, like CM Punk just came in. Because obviously, like, the only other two that was probably like, that I thought about was Jericho and Kane. You know, like Kane, I would say was the greatest debut for a guy that, you know, brought in a new character. Like, we all know Glenn Jacobs was Isaac Yankum and all his other stuff and fake Diesel. But Kane was supposed to be like a fresh start for him. You're not supposed to know who he was under the mask at the time, because this is the late 90s. You know, only a few people probably knew it was Glenn Jacobs, not a lot. Like, we would know now, like, okay, behind the mask is Bray Wyatt type shit. But, you know, because if this was back in the day, he could have pulled off the whole thing without people knowing it was probably Bray Wyatt, besides the physique and everything. Because Kane had a whole attire where everybody would just, it was just a mystery. How does Kane look under the mask and all this other shit? Good storytelling, too, with the Kane character, right? But he had, like, the best debut for as a guy bringing in a new character, starting his, revitalizing his whole career, because he was about to flatline at one point. Jericho, up until I say Friday with CM Punk, was the greatest debut for a guy to go to another organization, if that makes sense. You know, because Jericho was in WCW, but when he came to WWF, it was a big thing. It was a huge deal. It was probably one of the biggest things ever. But until, not what I saw, and then you got to figure, CM Punk came to a new company in Chicago. When did Chris Jericho came into WWF? In Chicago. Now, it wasn't in the daggone United Center, but it was still Chicago. Roman's Mount Horizon, kind of outside of Chicago, but it's kind of like, you know, somebody saying, we debuted in D.C., you know, but, you know, you're not really in the actual city part of D.C. You're probably, like, in PG County. It's like a few miles away from D.C., so you might as well just say D.C., right? So, you know, I think that kind of just trumped the Jericho by a smidge, only because of the reaction that this guy had gotten. and the promo that he just delivered, and everybody was just waiting on it. And it was probably because of how long he was gone too, which built it. And people just didn't believe that, oh, CM Punk is coming back. It was one of those things, and it was like, okay, this is getting good. But it was awesome. And we all need to, you know, praise AEW for a lot of stuff that AEW don't really, because like I said, they're a fairly new company, so I don't try to really criticize them a lot. But they got a lot of stuff that they bombed a lot, but they did not screw this up. They actually, I don't even think nobody else could have gotten this right. I don't even think WWE would have gotten the CM Punk shit right if he'd have came back to WWE. Because he would have got the same reaction. But WWE would have, you know, probably got it leaked out early that, oh, he's really, really, really coming in. Or they would have had him leak out where he comes out at the end of a match type shit where he don't need to do that. He just come out, you know, explain himself and everything. But it was awesome, and everybody should cherish that for the rest of their lives if you're a wrestling fan. Speaking of returns, we'll get into SummerSlam right now, because I'm not going to get into a whole lot of SummerSlam. Like I said, I know everybody got the results and everything. That's not what I'm about to do, like the results and stuff. I mean, like, you know, like I said, if you want to, because I mean, a lot of these matches I don't like to really go over, like Alexa Bliss versus Eva Marie. Why was that really a SummerSlam match? You know, just stuff like that there. I get it, though. I actually kind of get it. We'll get into SummerSlam in a minute. But before I get into SummerSlam, I'd like to let everybody know what I did before SummerSlam, which was like a bad idea. I did the fucking chip challenge, folks. And I have to let you know, I regret that because I like hot food a lot. Like, I really do. I didn't think nothing would got me. Like, I had a lot of hot sauce in my day. Even stuff where I thought it was like, oh my God, it was hot. Old time, it's hot, but it can open your pores. And it's like, it wears off in like minutes. Doesn't really keep your mouth numb too long. It's like, it numbs it, but it's like, okay, 5 minutes later, it's done. Not this fucking chip, okay? Got the shit off Amazon. I thought I wanted to be a badass for this chip. I said, okay. I said, so I want to do the chip challenge. So my fiance got the chip off of Amazon. I was like, okay. I regret it because the seasoning, whatever they put on that chip, it went down to my stomach and it sat there. My mouth was numb for about 30 minutes straight. My eyes got red. My eyes got watery. Ice cream didn't help. Milk didn't help. Water didn't help. None of that shit helped. It just stayed fucking hot. And then it's like, even after it wore off, my stomach was rolling by around SummerSlam. I missed bits and pieces of Edge and Seth Rollins. I had to go back the next day and rewatch it because once my stomach got settled and everything else and whatever the fuck, I went to fucking sleep. I said, fuck this, because I was supposed to record that night. I said, that's okay. I'm tired. And I was tired from the chip. I was tired from the chip. The chip got me. I didn't drink that night. I felt like I was drunk because of the chip. Like, but it was the chip. It was all the chip. If anybody does the chip challenge, you're brave. I feel like I'm brave now. That was one hell of a fucking chip. No wonder they sell it just in one. The thing is, I always watch people eat it on YouTube. I didn't figure the chip was that bad. I thought some people just do it just for the overacting and, you know, just to get more YouTube followers and stuff. But that was one hot ass chip. I got to tell you, it comes in a coffin. It's like, what the fuck? Like, who made this crap? We're getting to SummerSlam real quick. I'm trying to get some stuff on here real quick. Hold on real quick. Let me type a name up real quick. Before I do that, the title, you know, so Charlotte got the title back from Nikki A.S.H. I feel like that was the right move. I feel like that was the right move to go with everything. The Nikki A.S.H. stuff fell flat. And the thing is, what I will get into next you know, after I get, after I'm looking through this and I try to get a little bit more, really, more information. You know, after watching it, it was just like, well, that was the best route for them to go for now, because the Nikki Ash stuff, like I said, all that stuff just fell flat. I thought they were going to wait. I thought it was going to be a thing where, you know, maybe Charlotte win and then Becky comes out, which I'm going to get into in a minute. But considering everything that happened at SummerSlam, you kind of see why they didn't go that route, especially because this match happened, I think, after the Becky and Bianca Belair match, if you can even call that a match, which I'm about to get into in a minute. But it was just the right way to go. Just give it to Charlotte. She knows what she's doing. You can't go wrong with her. So that's pretty much the way it went. Now, which we'll get into Becky right now. Becky won the SmackDown Women's title. I did say a couple of weeks ago, you know, all you have on SmackDown as far as the women's go is the Sasha Bianca stuff, and that's fine, but it's so far you can go, you would need like other contenders. And right now, you don't have an Asuka on TV. I figured maybe they could throw Asuka over there on SmackDown, give Bianca and Sasha an extra head to be like, okay, a competitive person, because other than that, you got the next tier down is, you know, Zelina Vega and Carmella. And no disrespect to Zelina Vega, but, you know, because, you know, we haven't seen her at her full potential in WWE yet. But Carmella, like, with that, when you say that name, you just think of bullshit, you know. And, you know, I didn't know what was going to happen, because I did hear the rumors that Sasha and Bianca match was going to be off. It was rumors that Sasha wasn't there at the show. I don't really have any information on why she wasn't. I'm trying to see why she wasn't pretty much there. It was just that she wasn't there, so they threw in Becky Lynch, which was like a nice surprise for SummerSlam. It was a shocker, but then the way that they went was just like, oh, you know, just like bullshit in itself. You know what I'm saying? So, because of the way that the, you know, like she came out, fans went ape shit. You know, it was like, you know, you kind of, and that's the thing, you kind of knew Vince was going to give you a surprise, because anybody that says Vince doesn't pay attention to the other damn show, they can kind of like kiss my ass with that shit. He's paying the fucking attention. Like, he's not paying attention to this shit, because he is, right? You know, he's paying attention to this shit. But for people to say he's not is an indictment on that person itself, because it's not what he did for SummerSlam was great, but it was like, you are paying attention, because you seen that shit coming with the damn CM Punk thing. He had to scramble around just to see what the fuck he had to do. And he brought back Becky. And I did say that I think the only person that, you know, could probably come back that Vince can get like a good reaction from would be Becky, because Becky been gone for a while, since she's been found out she was pregnant. So she's been gone for like, I think they said 16 months. So, and then, you know, you get into, so they bring in a ring, you know, she beat up Carmella, which I didn't dislike. She beat up Carmella and sent her on her merry way. She challenged Bianca, which was not bad, and then she beat her in, I think the thing said 26 seconds. Beat her in 26 seconds. So it was like, whoa, you know, there you go. It's like, you know, it kind of reminded me of when Kofi Kingston won the title at WrestleMania, and then later that year, Brock beat him in like, I think 6 seconds. is like, wow. Like, you know, you couldn't at least let Kofi get his ass kicked for like, I don't know, 10 minutes straight from Brock. You couldn't took it like at least like, you know, 13 13 suplexes. You couldn't do that. And with the you know, Bianca, the way they built Bianca up, she's supposed to be this, you know, woman that's a competitor, she's a fighter. And Becky is too, but then you got it the way, okay, Becky just beats her in 26 seconds clean. Like, what the fuck? That's like the only hiccup I had with that. I was just like, ugh. You couldn't let them roll around and tussle for at least a good 5 to 10. Couldn't give it that. But it was, you know, but, you know, I guess the surprise element trumped everything else. You know, it's pretty much it. It's like, what are you really going to do? Edge and Seth Rollins, the match was perfect. It was probably my favorite match of the entire SummerSlam. You know, they went back and forth, back and forth. Edge doing things that you don't think a guy his age can still do. He's still doing them. Don't know how long he can keep that one up. At least he don't wrestle every fucking week, though. Because that would be, like, terrible for a guy like Edge. He's like, you know, damn. You know what I'm saying? Like, Edge, come on. You know? But I did enjoy the entrance. He came out with the brood shit. It was fucking tight. You know? Not really, you know, he came down, him and Seth Rollins had pretty much a match that they were supposed to fucking have. It was, hey, what are you going to do with it, right? There's nothing you can do with it. Seen a commercial for WWE 2K22. Kind of pissed about that because they've been doing this advertising for this game for months. First of all, I'm kind of pissed because I'm like, okay, if you're going to advertise this game, now you're pretty much advertising this game for a year before it comes out. First of all, this game sucked ass. The last time it came out, what was it, 2K20? And now we got to wait, what, another year, a whole another year pretty much. It comes out in March. I think the first advertisement was March for this game, like what, WrestleMania? Okay, April. So whatever, it's going to be a year. Who the hell? Who makes this shit up? And then they already got clips and pictures for the game. So, like, what's wrong? Like, I said this when they first said, okay, March 2022, because they want to advertise this shit right before WrestleMania. If we got to wait this long for this game, this better be the greatest wrestling game of all time. It can't be bullshit. You can't just have this game and then, like, with Madden. I just got Madden 22, right? And they did a good amount of changes on it, you know, with the franchise mode, face franchise mode, the yard. They did pretty much upgraded each game, you know, mode that they have on Madden, which was fine. And they still got some work to do because, let's be honest, Madden is kind of like 10 years behind their own ass. They're 10 years behind on everything because everything pretty much stayed. Like, it seemed like for the past, we'll say, I want to say 10 years, but I'm gonna be nice with Madden because this Madden is fine. But I will say personally, for the past 5 Maddens in a row, it's been like a stagnant case. The only thing that's pretty much changed was the roster and the cover. This is like the first Madden in years where we got different shit. Okay. With 2K20, it's like, okay, they've done the repetitive shit probably even a little bit longer than Madden, in my estimation. So what I'm thinking is, okay, if you're waiting this long extra to bring out 2K22, because I was thinking it was going to come out in October when they advertised the shit in April. But, you know, you want to I look at it more like, okay, you wait this long. This game better have the works. It better have the GMO that everybody talks about. The rest, the buttons better be legit to everything that people want. all that. It's got to be legit. It can't be no bullshit. The story, the career mode can't be the gayest shit ever, because their career mode for the past 3 years sucked. You know, and when you think of wrestling career mode, you think of, okay, create your guy. They want to do this whole going through NXT and all. No, they do it the way they want you to do it. It's a storyline based around what they do, and then your career is over. You can pretty much play the whole career mode in a day. When you play like 2K basketball, and your career mode is probably pretty much never over until you retire. You know, you want to create stats. Now, I don't want to say if wrestling got stats, but like, as far as win-loss records, how many wins you got at WrestleMania, type of stuff like that, you don't get that. You wrestle like two WrestleManias and that's it. It's like, what the fuck? Like, everything better be legit for this 2K2022. And I'm just saying, personally. Not just personal. Brock Lesnar versus Bobby Lashley. It was supposed to be that. I actually was happy that Goldberg was getting his ass whipped. And considering in front of the fans, everybody else was too. Everybody tired of seeing guys like Goldberg still coming at, like a guy like Goldberg anyway, that can't really produce at the level that he used to produce at, because he can't really lift people no more. Like, Goldberg MO was, you hit him with the spear, you hit him with the jackhammer. He can still hit a spear, but you can't really lift people up with a jackhammer. I think that was the reasoning behind the way that he beat the damn piss out of Goldberg, to the point where the first time in Goldberg's illustrious career, the match had to be stopped because he was getting his ass beat so damn bad. And then his son comes in, and then Bobby Lashley just laid waste to this motherfucker. I wasn't opposed to this type of shit. I actually was like laughing at this type of shit, because I was like, this is what Bobby Lashley is supposed to be doing until they can actually get somebody to come in and actually compete with this guy. And they kind of probably already did that with Raw last night. But let me get into the next match, which wasn't the next match, but it was a match earlier in the damn day where Damian Priest beat Sheamus, which, like I said, I'm calling it until I don't see it. I think they got the perfect way to build up a perfect guy. Build, like, you don't have to really build necessarily Damian Priest right now against Bobby Lashley. Just have a little match right now. Like, you had a little teaser now. But then now, as you slowly progress, you can still keep Bobby Lashley champion for the longest time until WrestleMania. At that time, you can still slowly build up, you know, Damian Priest, because you can still do the whole shit with what? You know, Goldberg can challenge Bobby Lashley again, probably at Survivor Series. Bobby Lashley can still lay waste to everybody. You give him an opponent at Royal Rumble. But I think at the same time, because SmackDown, they pretty much already considering their A show now. They kind of made Raw the B show from now on. It's been made clear after SummerSlam. It's like, if anybody had doubts, because Raw used to be the A show, not no more. Not from what I've seen for the past year, or ever since SmackDown went on Fox, and especially after SummerSlam. It's no question that SmackDown is the A show. But right now, you should just have somebody from Raw win the Royal Rumble, because you can build up Damian Priest real nice. Have him have a couple of more good matches for the U.S. title. He can hold on to that damn title. You know what I'm saying? He just on a fucking tear. While on the same time, you got Bobby Lashley just killing people, right? Because you kind of already teased it. You kind of be like, okay, now keep Damian Priest kind of away from him. You build Damian Priest up, because I like Damian Priest. Have win the Royal Rumble, when they have him and Bobby Lashley fight at WrestleMania. That's just my logic with it. Because you got to be perfect with the damn way you build them up. You know? Like, right now, as the only other guy I can see on Raw that can pretty much, that's like legit, that can challenge Bobby Lashley, that's like on the actual Raw roster, would be Damian Priest. I don't know what they want to do with Almas, and you still got AJ Styles, but let's be honest, they're not going to do heel versus heel. And even if they do that, you don't want to make AJ Styles get his ass beat, because you got a story to tell with him and Almas. I mean, I don't know if you want to have, you know, another throwaway match with Kofi Kingston. He try to get his revenge on shit. Just stuff. It's just that. You know what I'm saying? Just do it that way. That way you can kind of can see where they can do what they can do with that. But like I said, Damian Priest, just build it up real nice. They can do it perfectly. I don't know, before I get into the last one on SummerSlam, because I don't know if that was like the main things on SummerSlam. Like I think that was like the main shit. You can't really necessarily go over anything else other than that. RK Bro, the tag that, like, you know, I've never hated Randy Orton as much as I do now, only because I hate this fucking tag team. And considering the facial expressions that Randy is doing, I don't think he loves it either. But they're the tag team champions, and the only reason why I hate it because I'm not a Matt Riddle fan. He can wrestle and all this other stuff, but I'm just not a fan. And they beat AJ and Almas, which everybody knows I was high on with the tag team titles. They should have just had them two run through tag teams, unless the only thing that breaks them up from the tag team titles is AJ Styles and Almas, because AJ Styles get a big head and start, you know, bossing Almas around like he's a puppet, and then Almas get tired and throw his ass through a wall, and they probably have a match or something. Like I said, Alexa Bliss and Eva Marie, whatever. The Usos retained. Drew McIntyre defeated Jinder Mahal. You look at some of this shit, you're like, what? Why was some of this shit even on SummerSlam? You know, and I'm looking at the kickoff match, and I'm like, well, that should have been on SummerSlam more than damn Jinder and Drew McIntyre, because I'm not even a Drew McIntyre fan. Like, my fiance loves Drew McIntyre. I don't know why. He's boring. You know, it's nothing to his character. I'm not even a fan of his in-ring work. It is what it is. But now we get the Roman Reigns versus John Cena. Pretty much the longest match of the night, you know, I think Age of Seth Rollins was like the second longest. Everybody else matches was like not even 15 minutes. And you know what's funny? But when you look at both these matches, before I get into Roman Reigns versus John Cena, I'm looking at these matches, I'm like, okay, SummerSlam was a four-hour show. If you add up all these damn minutes to these matches, this would not even be a four-hour show. How is this? I guess because you're adding segments and all this other stuff, the entrances, Roman Reigns take about 20 minutes to get to the ring. Bruh, he's like the new Undertaker. This man takes like the longest time to get to the fucking ring. It's like ridiculous. Let's get into Roman Reigns versus John Cena. And I know I'm like, people are like, oh, we already here. Yes, I'm standing. Look, I didn't go over him. My bad. I'm sorry. This show gonna be a little long tonight. Okay, just bear with me, please. Good match. Like I used to go into Roman Reigns matches and not liking them, and now I go into his matches for the past year just loving them, because the way he just does it is like the way he does this character is so perfect. He's beating you down and he's talking. He's beating you down and he's talking, and then his foes come back to fight him again, and then they both down on the mat. You know, even though people are like, it's kind of like complacent, but it's like, it's perfect complacent, though. Because that's not supposed to be. Now, considering what his next opponent is going to be, I don't think it's going to be like that too much. I think it's going to be some other shit going on with that. But John Cena, you know, John Cena is the new Kevin Durant, folks. He got a big-ass bald spot that I could not stop looking at through this match. I'm like, some people, I'm just like, okay, John Cena, you had a buzz cut before. Just kind of get it cut low so we can't really see it, you know, like Jesus, like, or get some facial hair and go bald like Moxley or something. I don't fucking know. Like, you can't get away from that buzz cut. I mean, you can't get away from his damn Kevin Durantness. It's like I was watching Kevin Durant over the day going, you know, summer playing basketball, and the only thing you see is the back of damn Kevin Durant's head, and it's like a big ass bald spot, like you can fly a fucking plane into that bitch. John Cena's starting to get the same thing. I know they're like, John Cena's getting old. Yeah, okay, well, John Cena's getting old. What's Kevin Durant's excuse? Kevin Durant shit's been like that. You know? My shit's still going like that. I'm going to just go bald and just growing a bunch of facial hair just so I can take the attention off the baldness. Even though I wouldn't even probably mind a bald head when I get older, so I wouldn't even care. I actually can't wait to the point to where my shit start doing it so I can't get a bald head. I actually want one, like, to be honest with you. But I'm like, why do that now when I still got a full head of hair and a nice hairline that's not receding probably no time soon? And even if it does, people are like, oh, don't talk about people who just start receding because God will make it recede. Well, then I'll just go bald. Fuck. That's a quick answer for my shit. It was a good match, though. Like, you know, John Cena tend to always come, like, you know, for people that over the years have said John Cena can't wrestle, John Cena's had, like, a good amount of great matches. You know what I'm saying? And this one was no different. I already came in thinking this was probably going to be one of the best matches on the card. I already thought that in my mind, I felt like Edge and Seth Rollins was going to probably have the best match, only because it was storyline behind it, but it didn't really have to be that, because the story was already set in stone from 7 years ago when, you know, Seth Rollins had his feet on the back of Edge's neck at that Raw, and Edge is already, like, retired, right? And when you kind of looked at that, you're just like, okay. And then, not even withstanding that, you kind of look at the whole, you know, it just didn't really need no build-up. With John Cena and Roman Reigns, pretty much, they didn't really need no build-up either. They just had a war words, but it was really no storyline, no who done it to you, or nothing like that. They didn't need to necessarily have it. WWE tend to has that in their grasp just a little bit. But it was a good match. It was a great match. I loved it. You know, Brock Lesnar coming back was another shocker. Like I said, second night in a row, we had some great matches. Like, we had some great surprises. Now what we're going to see is, oh shit, what is Paul going to do? Because, you know, you know, Roman is used to dominating his opponents. Brock Lesnar comes out there. As much as Vince can try to make Brock look like he's being dominated by Roman Reigns, you got to figure out a way to kind of actually do that, because Brock looks like he's bigger than ever. This motherfucker is just a freak. Like, when you see where John Cena, like, he's got a little smaller, you know, Randy's still intact. Randy's still intact, but Brock just seems like he gets bigger and bigger each fucking year. It's like, geez, this guy don't, you don't frail up just a little? Like, frail, please. No, he doesn't. Like, if I seen, and the way he was dressed, if I was walking to the fucking store and it was dark outside and I seen this motherfucker just walking down the street like that, I crossed the fucking street. I'm like, I ain't got time for this shit. I had to have a gun just to like, you know, take care of this guy. Fucking guy, Brock is huge, man. And when he got in the ring, he's fucking, I was like, okay, I just wasn't overreacting when he was walking to the ring. This guy's making Roman Reigns like a little kid out this bitch. Like, he's huge. Like, so the way they're going to do this is going to be interesting on SmackDown. I want to see how they do the whole dynamic between Roman, Paul Heyman, and Brock, because that's going to be interesting. And the Usos are nice bump machine, so they might try to come out there and tag Brock, but they'll bump the hell out of for Brock. They'll bump for Brock real good, okay? So that was pretty much the SummerSlam. All in all, I've looked at SummerSlam. I don't give things grades, but I came out of SummerSlam like, okay, I can rewatch this whole SummerSlam again. Minus probably like two matches, possibly three, if that. I don't even want to say three, but probably only two matches, you know. And not even that, probably just the one. I wouldn't even, and you know, with that one, it's like only 3 minutes and 50 seconds. So I guess I can bear it, you know. So all in all, we got some surprises. We got Becky back. Becky will be on SmackDown. We got Brock back. He'll be on SmackDown. SmackDown should be awesome, which means that AEW might make Rampage awesome again, because AEW has... they got to start building up for their pay-per-view, which I will be watching. So it's going to be good to see. Wrestling is getting good. So for anybody out there that really complains about a lot of wrestling, like, there's like a few things that you can just nitpick on and be like, oh, I didn't like this, I didn't like that. But if I can come out the damn SummerSlam saying, man, I was highly entertained. And I came out of Rampage saying, man, that was awesome. I really enjoyed Rampage. And I'll get into NXT in a minute. But you just come out these shows just saying, man, that was fine. It's nothing to really complain about. It's nothing to really bitch about. NXT TakeOver. So we had that going on. And I'll say, at least out of the straight, you know, three straight nights of wrestling, nonstop. And I know people are, well, you watch Raw too. Yeah, I know I watch Raw and I watch what you call. So pretty much five straight nights of wrestling. Not including that. I'm just talking particularly Friday, because of the impact that we knew that Rampage is going to have. SummerSlam, we were just anticipating how Vince would respond to what AEW just did, and you know, everything. I would say probably NXT might have been like the least favoriteest night, and I still loved NXT. If you was to pick one, you'd be like, well, NXT might have been the least, only because, like I said before, I don't compare NXT to you know, which company, because I know people are, well, it's easy to say that now because they're not competing against AEW, but NXT was never the you know, whole issue. AEW is competing with the entire WWE. Get what I'm saying? So AEW just, you know, like I said before, business decision. It's smart to go against NXT straight off the bat. You don't go up against, you know, as much that even at the time when it did come out, you wasn't stupid enough to go up against Raw because Raw got an established fan base. So they still will, surprisingly, in the millions. Don't know how, but it is. You know, and AEW was just like still in the thousands. Now I think they're in the millions now, but you know, they wasn't dumb to really go up against SmackDown because SmackDown was about to get a bunch of publicity with the Fox network and shit. So it was like, you know. And I kind of figured it was weird. I was about to my bad for pausing. Some like I love doing these shows outside because like the outside atmosphere just give me a calm comfort. But I'm telling you, I'm like, I'm on this balcony, but I'm just like, you can still see like traffic going through your damn neighborhood. And it's like a car just stopped and all I saw was a flashlight. You were probably about to, if for anything, you would have probably heard me duck out the way. It would have been like a bunch of fumbling around because the guy is still driving slow, but it's like far away from me. But what the fuck? At the end of the day, I feel like I'm a brave person just for doing this out here because they like to shoot around here. So what the fuck? I'm going to hurry up and get this done with, though, while I can. But, yeah, you looked at NXT. And like I said, with the rumors of NXT and I think Vince taking over, whatever the fuck the case may be, I don't know, kind of frightened for NXT at this point. I was just, you know, real curious to see what NXT was going to do, which I'm not going to stay too long on NXT for. You know, I'm going to just tell you what I loved about it. I didn't really hate anything on NXT at all because, like I said, NXT usually is good because they don't ever have a lot of matches. It was just really no surprise elements because I thought NXT would have came out with at least a one big major surprise element. I know people, I don't know who that lady was. She was from NXT UK. I was figuring maybe somebody like, you know, a high commodity person in the indie scene that would have came in. But at the same time, you know, rumors flaring around that Vince is taking over, so we won't be getting that. But you know, the only main thing I really took away, because I did like the Kyle O'Reilly, Adam Cole stuff. It was a good match. You know, three stages of hell, it was fine. Like I said, I'm not going to stay too long on this. The only major takeaway I took from this is that unless Samoa Joe did this on purpose, but he looked at fucking gassed in like the first 2 minutes of this match. He was like, he was trying to get air. And I was just like, uh-oh, and they're going to give this guy the belt? Because there was no question that he was getting the belt. Because Karrion Kross is done with NXT. He's on Raw now. Nobody doesn't know where Scarlett is at. And, you know, with my idea with Karrion Kross, everybody had great ideas of, okay, maybe, and you know, maybe Vince will do a thing where, okay, Karrion Kross is on his losing streak or he's not himself. And maybe he'll, you know, Scarlett might come in a little later and get himself together and then he start being on his warpath like he used to be. But now I'm like, well, with Vince, that's too much like right because that makes sense. Things that he does doesn't really necessarily make sense. You know what I'm saying? Like, he does a lot of good things, but most of the time nowadays, it's like, that just don't even make fucking sense. Like, what the fuck? You know, why he just didn't do that? Because the most sense Vince doesn't do. But, yeah, Samoa Joe looked aghast. And I seen him earlier today. He was on NXT. He was calling out people, and Pete Dunne came out, and LA Knight, and Kyle O'Reilly. And I'm just like, these guys can go, man. Like, you know, if you was gassed against Karrion Kross, and Karrion Kross is a big dude, how are you going to fare with these guys that can really move around this damn ring? So, it's just a thought in my head, you know. What the hell? The car is back, folks. Okay. That's pretty much it for the NXT stuff. I didn't really add a lot for NXT because, like I said, I don't want to sit on here and speculate what's going to happen and all this other stuff. And like I said earlier, Carmelo Hayes won the breakout tournament. And I just don't know. We just don't know what's the fate of NXT, what's the future of NXT. But we do know that it's bright for AEW right now, and SmackDown. if you want to take away from just the whole WWE in a whole, SmackDown looks bright. I don't know too much for Raw right now. Like Raw was okay last night, but it was you know, they broke up Miz and Morrison, which I was totally against because we already seen a Miz and Morrison breakup. I'm like, we've been there and done that. That's like, you know, we've like, that's like, okay, we've in 2002, you break, you know, Shawn Michaels and Triple H are best friends. They go back to Click days, DX days, and then Triple H turns on them. It's like, okay, so that's a little bit different in 2002. We want to see these matches. They pretty much beef with each other for two straight years. And it's kind of over, or it's not over. They still hate each other, but they just don't have no more matches. The saga is done. And then they get each other back together in 2006. And then they officially back together, and they never really broken up since. But it would have been like a damn shame if we'd be like, okay, well, then we just do another whole Triple H and, you know, Shawn Michaels beef in 2009. It's like, what the fuck? Like, who want to see that shit again? Like, they did all they can do. And with Miz and Morrison, I just feel like, like, just keep them together, because at this point in these two guys' careers, really? Like, can't you just, if you at least got these two guys on TV, can you just keep them together? They're entertaining as fuck. So, no more dripsticks. Sound kind of gay, but no more dripsticks. Like I said, these shows is going to probably get even better, because like I said, I didn't think wrestling was going to get this much better, or hopefully it stays like this, and it ain't got to be like this every night, but just a little momentum just to get more fans involved in wrestling again, like they, not like they used to, but just more fans than usual, than what we're used to for the past 10 years, I'm gonna say. But other than that, you know, football, I'm gonna have football soon. I will go over preseason, but it's like, why? You know, it's like, why would I even do that? Not even gonna go through that in motion. It's like, it's no fucking excuse to even try to even go with preseason. Like, preseason doesn't really matter right now. The only thing I know about preseason so far is that Cam Newton is more likely going to have a starting job for the Patriots. Jameis Winston, I think ever since yesterday, he probably won the starting job for the Saints. Trevor Lawrence not looking too good, but why would he? The Jaguars was a dumpster fire. That's why he was the first overall pick. And for people to be, oh my God, Trevor Lawrence, and what is he going to do? Like, dude, if people was even assuming that the Jaguars was going to probably make playoffs this year, it was probably insane. They still got to build the whole team. Like, football is chess, not checkers. I keep telling people this shit. That's what football is. It's chess, not checkers. You got to have pieces in place. You got to have it right. You know, basketball can be kind of checkers, but not football. Football is different. Pieces got to be in place. You got to have the right talent around them. And they'd be like, well, if he's this generational talent, can he overcome all that? Yeah, it depends. If you have a suck-ass O-line and you don't have really no receivers, and I think one of your running backs that they drafted too, just he might be out for the first month, or might be for the year, because I don't know if it's an ACL or something like that. What more can Trevor Lawrence do? The only thing he could do is add on to the two wins that they had last year and probably give them probably 3-4 more wins just to build upon, which means that they can still get some high draft picks and get some good free agency going. So next year they can make playoffs. That's pretty much what they can do. That's all they can do. Like, nobody no need to sit here and start saying Trevor Lawrence is a bust. Him and Zach Wilson went on like the two worst organizations in football. Okay. So you see what happened with the Browns. The Baker Mayfield went to a dumpster fire. But the Cleveland Browns got new ownership once they got him to, I think, even a little bit before. It was a dumpster fire, though. That was the reason why they got him. He was the first overall pick. But even in that offseason, they got some pieces around. They still missed the playoffs by a game. Then I think the other day, they still missed the playoffs by a game, but they were still building. So now the team looked good. So give the Jaguars 2 years, two seasons. Trevor Lawrence probably will still win rookie of the year. All he has to do is go out there and do what Trevor Lawrence can do, and that's try to win and compete. That's all he can do. He can add on probably 3 more wins for this team on what they had last year. And Zach Wilson, too. That's it. If these organizations are smart, that's what they can do. Because the way it should be going within the 2 years, those teams should replace quarterbacks that's like the old guards of you know, teams that's been always making playoffs. They say, like, Ben Roethlisberger might not be in his league with – he's not going to be in his league within the next 2 years. And we're talking about the AFC, so maybe the Jaguars can kind of fill that void a little bit, you know, because we're getting some young guys in. We can't really talk about Brady because he's just a different fucking beast, you know. But we're just talking, right? Like, that's what we're talking about. Like, these organizations got to be smart. They can't be stupid. Build around these guys. Don't be a fucking ass. They're your future. It's a reason that you teams were dumpster fires. Look at the Texans. They were dumpster fires too when they got Deshaun Watson, and they still couldn't build around this guy. As a matter of fact, they built around him, but then they did so much to take away from him. And then on top of that, he got his own personal issues at the same time. But come on now. They didn't do right. So that's why he wants to leave, because we know what kind of talent he is. We know what he can do. He could compete against the Mahomes and the Lamar Jacksons and the Baker Mayfields. So let's. Hey, it is what it is with these teams. Like, with Justin Fields, he's in a little bit of a different situation. He went to a team that's in a win now situation, because they had a defense for years and they already had like offensive pieces. They just had Mitchell Trubisky. Now, sometimes you just got teams that just suck because of the damn quarterback, and they got talent, and they just might be a quarterback away, and they might just need a year, because Justin Fields can probably be the, like, a newer version of Russell Wilson, you know, where, okay, you're coming into a team that's already a fucking built team. They got a defense. They just need a quarterback to throw to these offensive weapons to complement the defense, so the defense ain't got to be too much on the field so long, and then there you go. They could possibly win a Super Bowl next year. I won't say this year because, like, I mean, anything possible, you know. Never had a rookie quarterback win a Super Bowl, so first time for everything, right? I mean, the Chicago Bears is like a team that – my team had to face the Chicago Bears this year. I don't want to see that fucking team. You know, but, you know, we oh, my God, Justin Fields had – he didn't have a great preseason too, or something like that. So everything is, oh my God, like, really, like let's, like everybody doesn't have a perfect game. Like, even veterans don't have 16 or 17 straight weeks of perfect games. Look at Tom Brady last year. He's won the Super Bowl, but twice that team got their asses handed to him by the Saints, and they still won the Super Bowl. What the fuck? Football is all about momentum. So that's my show, folks. I will be doing another show Friday night. I'm going to try to space these shows out just a little bit so I can have more to talk about when I talk about wrestling and everything else I need to talk about. But that's my show for tonight. If you like the show, hold that thought. You can listen to me on anchor.fm/myopinionblack, or you can listen to me on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Breaker, Overcast, Pocket Cast, or Radio Public. You can listen to me on all these platforms. You can download the apps on your phone, on your mobile phone, on your devices. Once I upload the show, you'll get a notification and everything. If you like the show and everything, you can go on the website, anchor.fm/myopinionblack, and you can leave me a message, and I can answer all your messages on the show. If you leave me messages, if you don't, that's fine too, because I'd be just rolling through these shows most of the time, just getting through shit. But I would like to hear other people's opinions on stuff, and I could just answer your questions on the show. And, you know, or you could just do it on the Facebook if you're a fan on my Facebook, or the Twitter, because I'd be talking shit on Twitter. It's my opinion. You'll see the logo of the show on Twitter or Facebook. You know, on Facebook it's a little bit different. It's still the logo as far as the picture, but if you want to find me, it's John Stern Jr. You'll see the logo. You can, like I said, send me message, leave comments on stuff. But like I said, other than that, though, folks, I will do another show on the, Friday night, right after Rampage goes off, so I can, you know, talk about a lot of AEW. Talk unless AEW Dynamite really, you know, because I would love to just do a show on Friday and just get into, you know, AEW tomorrow, like, you know, AEW Dynamite and Rampage and SmackDown on Friday. But if AEW just kicking ass on Wednesday, which I might, you know, it depends on, you know, matter of fact, I put it like this, because I don't want to be confused with anything. I'll do another show tomorrow night, because AEW Dynamite, I'm going to do it separately from Rampage. I don't want to just bunch them all together. You know, it was just this one-time thing that I kind of bunched everything together in one and wrapped it all up. But I didn't have to go over Raw or NXT tonight because those shows was kind of slow, especially tonight. You know, shows was kind of slow. Nothing really significant happened yesterday. You know, Charlotte came out, talked that shit like she's supposed to. We might be looking at, you know, new tag team. I would love to see a dynamic of tag team between Rhea Ripley and Nikki Ash. I kind of felt it funny where, you know, Nikki Ash jumped in the arms of Rhea Ripley. And I only say that because I root so much for Nikki Cross. You know, I just hate the fact that she's this almost a superhero thing, you know, because they didn't have her do nothing for a long time. I'm just so happy for her. But the whole thing that she's doing is falling flat. But maybe her and Rhea Ripley can be a tag team champions or something. That'll be a fun dynamic. It'll be funny because Rhea Ripley is so serious, but Nikki Ash is more like a, you know, bring out that smile in Rhea Ripley once in a while because she's so serious and ready to kick ass and take names. But other than that, though, folks, I'm out. I'll be doing another show tomorrow. As a matter of fact, I made a decision just now in my head. I'll do another show tomorrow on Dynamite. CM Punk, I think, should be there tomorrow night. We'll see everything that's going to happen tomorrow and how they're going to go further with the CM Punk saga. Because right now, this is about to be a saga for us with CM Punk. And I'm going to love it. Trust me. I'm not saying saga like, oh, my God. No, it's going to be fun. So we'll see what else he has to say on tomorrow night. Maybe him and Darby Allin should have an interaction and everything. But other than that, folks, I'm out. And everybody stay safe. Peace.